tonight for service. In a book called The Tattooed Jesus, what a title. What would the real Jesus do in pop culture or with pop or popular culture? It's written by a gentleman named Kevin Swanson, and it's under a chapter heading, hopefully everybody can see this, titled The Power of Culture. And he writes in this chapter, in this section, about a very unusual phone call. And this phone call took place. It was a phone call that MTV, you know, music television, I think everybody's aware of MTV. But MTV's executive office took this call early in the 90s. It was a very strange call. And it was strange because of the one who was on the other line calling MTV's executive office. The premier of China, very influential man, we would say, very powerful man, called and was online, and he wanted to speak specifically to the chief executive officer, CEO, the leader, the head of all of music television, MTV. And he wanted to speak to them. Now, he doesn't write about everything that was contained in their conversation, but here was the gist of it. He asked the question, the premier of China, to the CEO of MTV, "What are you going to do to my country? What are you going to do?" Speaking of the influence of music television upon culture. "What are you going to do to my country?" Now listen to this. As he continued to write, Swanson said, "Forget the military strength of one of the largest nations on planet Earth. When it came to changing a nation's social, political systems, there was no better way to do it than by the powerful cultural influence of music and the visual medium." In other words, the premier is calling MTV's CEO because of the influence, not that MTV's having on American culture, but upon China and other places. The power of culture. Now, I think we're all aware of worldviews, and that basically there's only two worldviews, right? Everybody's view of life in this world can be summed up, and for the sake of this lesson, I'll just say the believer on one side and the unbeliever on the other. So you have those that believe in a God who created the universe, who's powerful, and everything originated from this creator, God. That's the biblical worldview, right? And then on the other side, you have the unbeliever's worldview that doesn't believe. Now, there's other things about that or views in the unbeliever's worldview, but we're not here to talk about that. Just to say there's a believer's worldview and an unbeliever's worldview. And just because one verbally expresses, "This is what my worldview is," doesn't mean that's how you are influencing or affecting culture or this world. Matter of fact, worldviews are expressed just as much, if not more, by the way we live. By our very actions. We can say one thing, we all know that. We battle with that a lot, don't we? I do. Being consistent and our views, our walk in line with our talk, we call it, right? Francis Schaeffer once observed that one gets a worldview like one gets the measles. The fellow's not sure how he picked it up, but sure enough, he has the measles. Now, he's just emphasizing that once we look back at our view and we're like, where did the view come from? Especially, and I, and I don't think he's saying that to say that the believer's worldview is negative. But unless you grew up all your life in the church hearing the truth of Jesus, we would know where your worldview came from then, yes. But many people, when they look back, they go, where in the world did I get my views? My very beliefs. And sometimes what we want and what we really believe aren't the same thing either. Because we have been influenced. Today, I believe that the greatest influence upon anybody's worldview is pop culture. The culture that we live in, and where does that come from? The very thoughts, the very views and ideals and ideas that come from two places. I think these are the most influential places. Number one, Hollywood, and number two, Nashville. That's just a simple way of saying what? Movies and music. The greatest influence upon our culture, which means it's upon our society, which means it's even upon our church and even in our homes, Nashville and Hollywood. And if there's anything infecting our lives more than that, I don't know what it is. Now, we know that's all led by the enemy, right? That's what we believe. That's what we know to be true. So here's my question this morning. How do we as God's people live faithful in this time? It's a $1 million question, isn't it? How do we live faithful to Christ, to the Word of God in our popular culture? And if you're looking for a quick answer, and I'm sure I could give you one, but I'm not going to in this lesson. Because I think we're all kind of on the same page here, feeling kind of like a little tiny fish in a vast ocean. You ever feel that way? But that shouldn't keep us from swimming. Satan is, I believe, by the size of the issues, would love for you and I to raise up our hands, put up our white flags of surrender and say, it's too big for me. That's how he plays this game. He's still the lion prowling, wanting to devour, 1 Peter 5:8. And yet faith is still and always will be the victory that overcomes that one. Faith. 1 John 5:4, John said, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Complex things have to be viewed from different angles, don't they? When we examine something, you're looking at it from all different angles. I want us to consider, as we think about living faithful in our popular culture, in pop culture, I want us to look at this from different angles. I'm going to call this different dimensions, 3D, okay? And here's your main points for our lesson today, the first dimension. Develop. Looking at it through the eyes of develop or developing. Listen, if we're going to be a faithful people to God in our culture, we have to continue, church, to develop a more spiritual mindset. We have to develop the daily habits of spiritual ways and spiritual thinking and spiritual thoughts, which means we've got to be receiving spiritual truth, spiritual message. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 4, in that section, Paul says, and you don't need to turn there, it's up here. If you want to, you can. But Paul says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, now you remember how they were raised when you go back to chapter 2 when they were buried in baptism with Christ. He says, you were raised. Same thing as Romans chapter 6, 3 and following. He says, so therefore, this is Paul's practical section. If you have been raised up with Christ, he said, notice the emphasis, keep seeking the things above. He didn't say just you seek once or twice, but this is an ongoing thing. Spiritual things, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and he says it a second time, set your mind where? On things above. Not on things that are on the earth. For he said you had died. Goes back to the same place that we were raised. We were baptized. For you have died, and your life, notice, is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, he says, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. We have to be setting our mind on those spiritual truths. I was thinking about Solomon and his great wisdom when he said, and it's one of the first verses I ever memorized, and still one of my favorites in chapter 4, 23, when he said, young people, listen to this, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And what's he saying? Watch your heart? No. He's saying, watch what you place in here. Watch what you put in your minds, for from it will flow your life, your worldviews, your beliefs, the way you live. Spiritual truths should take precedence always. This is Bible. That spiritual truths should always take precedence over physical blessings. The spiritual things are always over the physical thing, because we know the physical things aren't going to last. We want them to last, but they will not. Reminds me of a great Facebook post this week by an unknown author. Don't know who posted it or who wrote it. But I thought this is just great when it comes to, listen, we've got to develop spiritual thinking and mindset. You are the books you read, the movies you watch, the music you listen to, the people you spend time with, the conversations you engage in. So choose wisely what you feed your mind. Choose wisely what you place in your mind. Second, if we're going to live in this world faithful to Jesus, there has to be the dimension, I called it, or there has to be discipline. We should always be disciplined, and I want to focus on two different areas in this discipline, but specifically in regards to devices and technology. We got any problems with that here today? Nah. It's nothing we really need to talk about, is it? No, it's something that we all feel. We all feel the pressures, and it's not just our youth. It's also the elderly. It's all ages, and we really can't get away from it. It's part of our culture. But we've got to be a disciplined people. Remember, worldviews like the measles. We don't know where we got it, but we got it. So all these ideas and views and concepts and knowledge that we are getting through time, forming and shaping our lives. I don't want to be negative. I really don't. But I think we're already paying the price. I really believe we can see right now in our society a heavy price. But I do predict if we aren't disciplined people, I mean everybody, that the pain of emotional and mental and possibly even physical problems will trump whatever pain it would have taken to be disciplined in that area. They won't even compare. I want to give you two areas that I think we really need to focus on, and that is, again, going back to the early part of our message of Nashville and Hollywood, music content and movie content. How easy is it for us to just throw it aside and not even be concerned anymore about content? Content will get you. Music content matters. We know it matters. I can't tell you how many conversations I had, especially when I was teaching our teens, when I was first a youth minister and then here working as a preacher slash youth minister, and the kids always bring this one. But I don't listen to the lyrics. You know? My kids will do, Dad, we don't care about the lyrics. I know you don't care about the lyrics, but the lyrics care about you. And I'm thinking while they're telling me these things, oh, I could sing songs to you that I wish I did not know. And probably all of us have fallen into that trap. Lyrics care about us. It's forming our very worldview, and they really do matter. And you know what I've realized? As a church, we can't compete with our culture. I don't think we should try, but we can't compete with Hollywood. We can't compete with Nashville. You could have the greatest preacher ever, and you don't, trust me. But you could have the greatest preacher ever, and he could deliver the best 30-minute sermon. You could come back tonight, get another hour. You could come back Wednesday, get another hour. And I forgot Sunday morning Bible class. It gives you 4 hours of spiritual truths. It's not bad. But how does that compare with the rest of the information that we are receiving through the week? I would say probably for many of us, it's not even close. Forming our views. Music is powerful. God knew it was powerful, right? Go back to Colossians, it's up here again in chapter 3. God knew that music was powerful. It's the message that matters here. And in this same practical section, Paul will say, listen, notice the wording, the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. To which indeed you were called in one body, that's the church, and be thankful, he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. So he says, let the peace of Christ rule in you, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Now how is that going to happen? Well, let's keep reading. He says, with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another, how? With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. There it is. How are we going to let it's all about having the word of Christ in us, so that our minds are on these things constantly. I really appreciate my wife. This, a couple weeks ago, she bought, you know, acapella, the acapella group way back, Keith Lancaster. She bought one of their first CDs, and we've been playing in the car, and the kids love it. And just reminded me how every little opportunity that we have, we need these spiritual truths playing in our lives and in our minds. And movie content's no different. Peter says, listen, you got to prepare. And he's not talking about movies, but the battle we're facing, their culture and our culture. He says, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus. That's what your mind is to be fixed on. Things above. On hope, on Jesus, His grace, and His return. And what all that means to us. So we got to have discipline. We got to develop first. We got to have discipline. Develop the spiritual mindset. Be disciplined. And then thirdly, determine. This ties right in with our series on intergenerational faith, where we talked last week and we closed our series by talking about mentoring and how God wants every generation to be faithful. It's going to take all of us working together. And we all have to determine that we want to make a difference. But guess what? Don't start with the masses. Just start with one. I was thinking about our Lord who changed the world with 12, but He started with one, didn't He? One at a time. He didn't go straight to the Colosseum, straight to Rome, straight to pop culture in Rome. He didn't do that. He started with fishermen, just people, just workers, blue-collar people. And then he went to tax collectors and others, and those were his followers. And through those followers, they changed the world. I'm pretty sure the 12 wondered how they would ever influence first century Roman pop culture. But they did, and they did it the same way that it's to be done today, and that is through Jesus Christ, the gospel. How many times do we stress the point of the gospel being our salvation? There is no other way that God has chosen to save the soul. For Paul said himself, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through what? The foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 21. And then we know Romans 1, 16, where Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You know, I love it when I hear these kids learning from our teachers, and I appreciate everybody who teaches, not just in the classroom, but when you're walking by the way and you grab these young people and you're encouraging them. It's a wonderful thing to see. But I want to mention one person just because of what happened earlier this week. He's not here today. Jeremy Coy is not here today. But I wanted to mention this because he's teaching the kids on Wednesday nights, the teens. And Thursday, Kelly and I, in the morning before I left for the office, we were having some coffee, and Connor came out, our youngest, came outside, and the first thing he said, now, Jeremy had made the kids memorize, he gave them memory verses, but, so Connor comes out Thursday morning, and the first thing he's saying is, "But the one who endures till the end will be saved. But the one who endures till the end will be saved." That's Matthew chapter 24 and 13, so I appreciate Jeremy for doing that. To be determined to make a difference in someone's life. And these little things, I believe, make big differences in people's lives. Is it the end all? No, but it's all part of building our worldview, encouraging us in our faith to live in this difficult world that we live in. And what it takes is to develop more spiritual mindset, to discipline ourselves in the technology, all the technology, our devices, to be a disciplined people, and to be determined to make a difference with just one person's life. Don't raise the white flag, church, even though it's a big world that we live in. So easy for us as the church to say, "What's the use?" Don't do that. It's what Satan wants. We're to be a people of faith, live by faith, be God's people, and be part of those that influence this world and this culture for God, for good. That's the lesson, and Cameron's got an invitation song, and if you have not, as Paul said, been raised up with Christ, today I hope you make the decision to do that. If you haven't died with Jesus, been buried into his death, to be raised with him, to have the promise of everlasting life through him, to be forgiven of your sins, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.